Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Welcome to Coco Caliente.
Hey, bienvenidos for those that maybe just speak Spanish, like my grandma that listens to this in Puerto Rico.
That's so cute.
Bienvenidos a Coco Caliente, which I think is hilarious because she doesn't understand it. So
she's just so supportive.
That's true support right there.
Mm-hmm. That's cute.
So, yeah, I guess, Nicole, you want to hop into like reading reviews, right?
Yep.
So, because we really appreciate everybody that leaves a review, and then honoring you, we like to read them back out loud. So,
yes. Mm-hmm. So, this one's from Nathalie Elise, and it's called They Have Me Hooked.
Ooh.
5 stars. I have been on board with this podcast since Nicole first posted about it on Instagram and was super excited. I watched her first on season Big Brother and instantly related to her bubbly personality. I watched her again on the second season and just wanted to get to know her even more. I like that she's more private and not into putting everything out onto social media, and how she craves human contact over technology, because I am the same way. I think her relationship with Victor, from what we've seen and heard, it's beautiful and they really inspire me. I am so excited for this podcast and cannot wait for what else is to come.
Oh, that's awesome.
Isn't that cute?
You guys sound like you would be best friends.
I think so.
Very similar. All right, so I'm going to read one, and it's from Sisters Forever 5. And the title is cute, and it's also 5 stars, which, mind you, we would not read anything that's not 5 stars. So just to keep that in context, just letting you know. Thank you for sharing your life with us. Loved hearing about the differences in your upbringing. So hard to wait a whole week for another episode. By the way, Vic, I have a stick of butter on my counter right now. Maybe a Midwestern thing. I'm from Wisconsin. So you're weird.
Team butter.
No, team weirdos. But anyway, thank you so much for the positive reviews and the positive feedback. I mean, it just really drives us to keep doing this every day. So always don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, and show us all the love and support that you can. So what do you want to talk about today, baby?
So, well, let's tell them about the escape room we just did.
Oh, yes.
So have you guys ever done an escape room? I'll end up doing a poll on that because I think it's something that everybody should do.
It's such a brain teaser.
Mm-hmm. I love brain teasers.
And the one that we did this weekend, it was fun, but it was weird at the same time because we were going as a group of 6, right? It was you and me, your brother and his girlfriend, and your mom and your dad. So it was 6 of us. And we were assuming that it was just going to be us doing this escape room. And
a Christmas gift, mind you.
Yeah, it was a Christmas gift. So we were all excited, looking forward to it. And when we get there, there's 2 other people, strangers. And I guess, we're assuming that they're going to a different escape room. And it's like, oh, no, they're going to be part of your group.
But the thing is like, this was their first escape room ever. And they were like, we're just walking down the street and we thought it would be fun. So they came in and the lady at the desk was just like, yeah, you can join them. And honestly, it was fine.
Yeah.
But we could not be our psycho selves in the room.
Yeah. And I just think it wasn't fair to them, right? Like, they're with 6 people that are all comfortable with each other, being loud with each other, like, give me this, grab that, what are you doing? And they're almost like bystanders in, or bystanders in the situation, and you want to include them and be nice and everything, but at the same time, it's like, I don't know you, so like, I want you to just jump in and be a part of it. Like, I don't want to have to invite you. You're already here.
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, I think it was just the escape room themselves. People that run it, they should have just been like, look, I don't know.
Because Victor, you and I have done one by ourselves before. It's not like you can't do it with two people. You can have 2 to 8 people. And I feel like when you're paying almost $200 for 6 people to do it, you're paying for that family experience to kind of try to work together, build that bonding.
Mm-hmm.
And when you throw 2 strangers in the mix, it's like I'm sitting over here trying to include these 2 strangers, going out of my way. Like, I can't even concentrate on the clue because I'm like, hey, like, come help me with this. And and it's just, it really threw us off. But we did escape with 19 minutes left.
Oh, we crushed it. Yeah. We blew it out of the water. And again, not to, I'm not knocking the people that joined our group. They were really nice.
I feel sorry for them.
Exactly. Like they, I feel like they didn't get their money's worth.
I agree.
Because we did a lot of the work and
Told them we're kind of aggressive and loud.
Yeah, exactly. And we're, like I said, we're the family bunch, right?
Yeah. So,
but anyway, it was fun.
Super fun. Yeah. Maybe explain what an escape room is.
Oh, okay. So an escape room is it's in a room that you have to escape from in the most simplest terms, but they have a series and a bunch of like clues, locks, I mean, it can be anything, but basically there'll be like a writing on the wall that has to do with decoding the lock that's on a case. Mm-hmm. And inside that case will be another clue or a key or something that'll get you to get out of the room somehow.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
We've had so many different experiences. You and I have probably done 5 or 6. And this was the first time we were ever put with strangers.
Yeah.
And so it was just kind of... It was different. But... Victor made a really good point afterwards. My mom thinks we would have escaped faster without them because she would have been more aggressive because she's really intelligent.
Yeah.
And like rip stuff out of my brother's hand because he's just like, what's this? But then Victor made a really great point that he thinks that having 2 strangers in there made us more calm and less like psycho. So it made us like actually read the clues better.
Yeah.
And he thinks we would have escaped better with the strangers.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely think we did better with the strangers with us just because of that, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's 2 sides to it.
And we'll never know.
Just for them, though, next time, I hope they know better, though.
Yeah, I would encourage anybody that's doing an escape room for the first time, try it with people that you know and that you're comfortable with, because it'll be a much better experience.
Because say you can solve a puzzle, and then you have this like person over here that's like, wait, I don't know what I'm doing. And then you just want to rip it out of their hands and be like, it's this.
Yeah, but then there's like 5 other people that are with that person.
Yeah, I would never do that. Like, I would just stand in a corner and be like, do-do-do-do.
Yeah, exactly.
And then also something I kind of want to talk about, Vic, was, so today's Sunday. We're actually podcasting a little later than usual for our next episode. We had a really just like really busy, we've been so busy since we started a podcast, and we'll talk about that. But our Sunday routine, people said that they're kind of interested in that, like our daily routine. And I'd say Sunday is the most routine day we have.
Oh, for sure. And I just, yeah, I mean, just today. I woke up, I left you sleeping, and I went to the gym, which felt awesome.
Don't tell people that.
I didn't want to wake up Nicole. I just wanted to leave the house,
go
to the gym.
You left at like 7:45.
Okay. All right, and it felt great. No, it worked out great. But after that, the normal day, we wake up, drink our coffee, we go to church, right? Mm-hmm. After church, we go to the grocery store. And actually, probably eat lunch. Yeah. Today we didn't. We skipped that because we had a lot more to do. But typically after church, we go eat lunch.
And I pick China King and Heap, and you pick Peppers.
Yeah, so, and it changes, but I mean, I'm a big fan of the...
It doesn't change.
Chips and salsa at the Mexican place. It's really good. And then after we go get groceries, do our grocery shopping for the week, and then we come back. And what do when we get back?
We unload all the groceries.
We clean the house.
Clean the house together. It's so fast doing it together.
We put on some music, and we power 2 hour... And, you know, we just knock it out of the park.
And then we have bowling in an hour. So we're on a bowling league.
Yes.
And we're with the nicest couple in the world. She said she was turning how old? 60. She looks so good.
Yeah, she does not look like she's 60. But also, I never in my life thought I would be in a bowling league.
Yeah, there's only four lanes at the bowling alley we go to in Ubley.
And we are the youngest couple by, like, I don't know,
20
No,
I'm kidding. No, probably.
Yeah,
they're probably
yeah.
my parents' age. The next youngest.
No, it's crazy. It's crazy. But it's a lot of fun. I bought bowling shoes. I bought a bowling ball. I mean, really, really small town country type of thing.
Yeah. I like it. I do it on Thursdays for women's league as well. So I bowl a couple times a week.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
And it's literally 2 minutes from our house. Not even.
Walking distance, but we're lazy. So we drive and it's cold outside. So.
Yeah. So yeah, I guess that's just kind of how I wanted to start the podcast. So Vic, for our listeners, people would like to know how we started a podcast.
Yeah. That's actually an interesting story, I guess, kind of, because I don't think I was initially supposed to be part of the podcast.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, so it was presented to Nicole, right? Nicole is the more popular on social media of both of us. And I actually like staying off social media, so, you know, it kind of works for us.
But you love podcasts.
But I love podcasts. And yep. I actually listened to podcasts before Nicole listened to podcasts. I put her on to podcasts.
Yeah, he did. And we listen to the same podcasts. Like,
yeah.
We have the same taste in podcasts.
Mm-hmm. I like a little bit more true crime, though.
Yeah, and I like a little more Dax Shepard.
Yeah, Dax knocks it out of the park.
I literally mention him in every... Dax, have us on your podcast. We'll return the favor.
No, and congratulations, Dax Shepard.
Yeah, you kill it.
Yeah, you... And he won an award on iHeart, you know,
podcast. Yeah, he made me love podcast. And I also listen to Amy Schumer's.
Yeah, she's funny.
Three girls and one Keith. But anyways.
Yeah, so the podcast idea was presented to Nicole by her agent. Via our network, right? Mm-hmm. Wave Network Podcast.
Yeah.
And basically, they wanted Nicole to have a podcast and for me to just kind of be like, every once in a while, help, you know, and kind of be behind the scenes mostly. And I was like, well, I don't want to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I knew that you didn't want to do that because it just kind of reminded me of the story of Dax and Kristen.
Mm-hmm.
Where he feels like he's in her shadow, but he comes up with some good jokes.
Yeah.
And then she goes and performs those really good jokes, and he's like, oh, I shouldn't feel like this, but that was my joke.
Yeah.
But she's the popular one. She's the one that everyone's listening to.
Yeah.
And so it made me think of that, and I was like, I can completely understand where you're coming from. I won't have you technologically if you're not a co-host with me. I'm an idiot when it comes to technology. I can't do freaking anything.
Mm-hmm.
I've never set this equipment up. Me traveling with this equipment would be a joke. And I just immediately knew you're a better talker. You're more intelligent. I just immediately knew I needed you as a co-host. And once we presented that as you a co-host, it was fine.
Yeah.
It just was the initial, it wasn't a Nick and Vic podcast, but we made it a Nick and Vic podcast.
Yeah.
And I couldn't be happier that we did because now that it's going, we are good at opposite things. So I like run the Instagram account and I kind of get the guests lined up more so. I send out emails. I do the stuff like during the day. I do like the mug orders and set up originally the website, but then you do like pretty much everything else as far as you set up the equipment, you edit the episodes.
Yeah.
I mean, we both do like description. It's just like we complement each other. So, and also like our last week episode with Frankie, you clarify things. You're very aware of like what the listener does and does not know. Where I'll just sit there and ramble about something and it makes no sense. And so you're very good at directing conversation and you open up a completely different perspective.
Yeah, we definitely complement each other mm-hmm. really well, and we need that, right?
Yeah, we need each other for, I think, for this podcast. And
yeah.
I knew I couldn't do it alone, and so that's kind of why it was either both of us or none of us.
Yeah, and just sheer comfort, like, you're just more comfortable mm-hmm. with me around because, you know, I got your back, you know?
And another thing is we travel for this. The last thing I want to do is travel by myself.
Which is something that... Like, we could do interviews or, you know, have guests over the phone,
mm-hmm.
but it's just not the same, right? Like, having that mm-hmm. back and forth, vibing off somebody, you know, and just being able to see them and how they're interacting with you in the moment. Like, I don't think I don't know. If we were going to do it, we want to do it right. And although it can be costly and we're hoping to reap the benefits in the back end, right? And it be successful. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're just going on a whim and using this as an excuse to travel and meet new people.
Yeah, because for phone conversations, if I've never met someone before, dude, I don't want to talk to him on the phone. I want to like meet you and kind of vibe off you, but the only one I can really talk to on the phone for hours is my mom and my best friend, Mariah.
Yeah.
Aside from that, I'm just like this. I'm like thinking, oh my God, awkward pause
or
talking over each other, or I can't see when you're about to talk or your eyes light up that you want to say something. And then, so we just haven't gone that route.
Or even like misunderstanding what you say or how you're feeling about something or tone of voice. Like you don't know that person, you know, so you can just misinterpret what they're saying and it's just be weird.
And we don't want to drill someone with questions. We want it to be more conversation flow. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how we like came up with podcasting and everything, like our
style,
our layout. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not traditional, but I'm not really sure what traditional is because I don't listen to
it's
a ton.
Whatever you want to be. Yeah. And there's no, I don't think there's a science behind it. Mm-hmm. Podcasting, the people that listen to your podcast, it's typically a niche market, right? And so people can listen to any type of things that they want to listen to. And, you know, thank you for whoever's listening to right now. We really appreciate it.
We do.
But this is fun for us. And we do this for you guys as well because we want you guys to learn a little bit about us, about our guests, and be entertained.
Yeah, we want you to go home with something that you didn't have prior that could help better your life. Because I'm like, some podcasts I listen to and I'm just like, wow, I'm going to try to be a better person because of, you know, this, and this. Or, wow, I really like what she said about this. And it's just, that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
For those of you who buy too many clothes and too many designer clothes.
Which includes you, baby.
Yes, that's me too. I have something really cool for you. It's called swap.com. And what it is it's clothing that's inspected, that's sent in by people that may have only worn it like once or twice and they want a good home for it. And it's 90% off of retail price.
Which is crazy because about 70, what is it, like
70%?
You know, no, like 70 pounds.
I'm on the percentage.
No, but like 70 pounds of like textiles, like clothes and stuff is like dumped out per year by person.
And this is perfect for, you know, how your kids grow so fast. So it's perfect for like little babies or toddlers. I mean, they have maternity. Mm-hmm. They have women's, they have men's. So if you want to go on to swap.com to see what they have, you can use filters to use your favorite brands such as Nike. I mean, I know you like Nike Vic or Lululemon or whatever it is that you're big into.
Yeah, they got everything on there. It's pretty legit.
So swap.com has something for everybody. If you want to get this special offer for listeners for Coco Caliente, go to swap.com/Coco. Once you're there, you can sign up to get free shipping on your first purchase. And this is a low risk way for you to give online thrifting a try. Yeah. So again, just go to swap.com/Coco and get free shipping.
Speaking of traveling for podcasts, you guys heard that, you know, we had Paul and Frankie, and that was in our trip to New York. And although that trip sounded like it was super successful, and although it was a successful trip, it was one of those Murphy's Law where anything that can go wrong will go wrong.
Yes. It started out by, first we drove to, first we didn't get a microphone in that we needed, so we had to go to the microphone store.
Before we drove to the airport that same day that we were flying out.
Which we were already late for.
So we were super like high strung trying to find this store.
We went to Best Buy, they didn't have it, so we had to go to a little hole in the wall type place.
Like a DJ
in Detroit.
Store. Yeah, in Detroit.
And we found one. Okay, so then we get to the airport, get everything checked in. Okay, our flight's delayed. And we have a podcast appointment at 10:15 or 10:30 in the morning.
And we're already arriving there around midnight. Mm-hmm. And so we just wanted to get there and get settled in. So during our delay, we go eat at a restaurant at the airport. And as we're getting our food or waiting, Nicole gets a text message. Or actually, no, she gets an email.
our first ever guest canceled on us, you guys. Man. And I was like, ugh.
Nicole was devastated. I was devastated too.
Tickets. Okay, we bought plane tickets. And the other two people were our friends, and we're so grateful they pulled through and everything.
Oh, yeah. Not
but a, this yeah. person, we wasn't a Big Brother person, wasn't somebody. We were so excited for it. And we had talked to their, you know, assistant or manager or whatever it was. And we blocked in everything. We got their Starbucks order. We got an extra microphone for their spouse.
Yeah, I even bought a new set of headphones beforehand.
I bought this girl's book. Like, I was so devastated. I was like, oh my gosh, Vic, like, they canceled on us. What do we do?
Yeah.
And like, we got to fill that slot. Like, we can't afford this.
Yeah, I was pissed. I'm not going to lie. I was not happy. I was more disappointed than anything.
We do understand things can come up.
Yeah. No, okay. Yes, I understand that things can come up and, you know, and it happens. But it also does make me feel unimportant, mm-hmm. right? Because mm-hmm. if I schedule something with someone, you know, and especially it's not like a night out with the friends, right? And I can just be like, yeah, you know what, guys? I don't feel like going out, you know, tonight, whatever. If I schedule something with someone, I'm going to be there.
Yeah.
Because it's a commitment. And I blocked you off. And I know people, especially if you're coming from out of town.
Yeah, that's the thing is we were already worried about the trip pricing.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was really hard on us because we needed to get three.
Yeah.
Four.
And at least to get the most bang for our buck, right? Like getting two, it was great.
And they turned out great.
And they turned out great too. But to have a third would have been a lot nicer, mm-hmm. right? And you know, I don't know. It was just one of those situations where you weren't expecting it and we had to adjust. And all in all, I guess it ended up being, you know, a blessing in disguise because we got to prepare better in the morning. You know,
Paul's was so kick ass.
Paul did great. I got a haircut. You did your hair or whatever too. So
yeah, I went to the dry bar. But anyways, it just humbled us very quickly. And honestly, we're not really used to getting like canceled on.
Yeah.
Right? Like, so we're like, oh yeah, our podcast really is nothing. It doesn't exist at this point.
Yeah.
So for them to be like, well, you know, this whatever else she had going on was much more important. I was just like, oh, man.
Yeah,
like,
it made me feel some type of way.
But it made me feel like when I cancel on someone, which I only really cancel on my best friends because I know they'll forgive me. But when I cancel on someone like that, it's like heartbreaking because you don't know how much. There was a lot of back work we put into that.
That
and
have no idea that people are just finding out right now.
And we're just like, okay, you know, like we understand things come up, you know, very professional about it. And then I was like to Vic, at first I'm like, no, like, she has to be there. And then I realized, you know what? No, I don't want her there. If she doesn't want to be there, what kind of... That would be a mess.
Oh, yeah.
So we're just like, no, just be super nice about it, obviously.
Roll with the punches, yeah.
And we'll just get to sleep in.
And so that was one of the things on the trip, right? And then we did our, you know, podcast with Paul, podcast with Frankie. That went well. And then it was time to go. It was a real quick trip, you know? And so the next day we get to the airport right on time. I mean, we're perfect.
You guys
early.
Are not going to believe this.
We get there early, right? So we have to sit and wait, you know, for our time to go. And I mean, I was playing on my phone.
And I was taking a nap on his shoulder because I was exhausted.
But as we were on our way to the airport, Nicole told me that the flight was delayed, right? And she said the flight didn't leave till I think it was like 8 or 9:55, something like that.
Which was the right time that it actually left. It wasn't delayed, but it was still the right time. So I said it was delayed because I got this weird notification, but it still was the actual time of the flight.
Okay, but Nicole said it was delayed. So in my mind, we're delayed, we're there early, whatever. Around, let's say, I can't remember the actual hour, but let's say the minutes, right? Let's say we leave at 55.
Mm-hmm.
Around 30 or so, or a little bit sooner, I go to the guy and say, hey, can we go, you know, down to get ready to board? He's like, yeah, go ahead. So I go casually to Nicole, I wake her up. I was like, hey, babe, you know, it's time to go, you know, get ready for the flight. And she's like, what time is it? And I was like, oh, it's 30. She's like, oh my God. Oh my God. Are you joking? What time is it for real?
Because he always lies and jokes about stupid crap.
She's like, no, no. She sounded like Michael Scott on The Office. Like, no, no, no. And long story short, we missed our flight.
Yeah, because I was sleeping on his shoulder. And I was just like, I'm never leaving it up to you again.
Oh, she was fuming.
But can you guys believe that we missed our flight because he was on his phone and I was sleeping on his shoulder. And we were already wanting to get home. Like, it was already an exhausting trip. Everything that could have gone wrong, like, that we couldn't control, even like our guests being a little late, which was completely fine because they're our friends, but nothing was, it wasn't like a...
To plan.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't anything on schedule. And on top of that, like, when we get home, we don't get home. There's a 3-hour drive from the airport to the house. Like, if you guys, you know, that's a 6-hour leaving the house in the morning. That's 3 hours coming back after the trip's done. I mean, we had to drive a total of 6 hours for any trip that we're doing.
Right. So I think just that automatically put it back a couple hours. But there was this really cute man who missed his flight also.
Yeah, he had a...
Taekwondo.
At a YMCA, and he was the instructor. And he was so dedicated to get to that class on time, but he was, yeah.
And he didn't speak, he was fluent in English, but not like super, he had broken English.
He had broken English.
And so he was just like laughing. He's like, you guys missed it too? And I was like, yeah, like I'm about to kill Victor. But he made me happy. Like, okay.
And okay, but that, you see, so Nicole getting, so, and I can understand her frustration, right? I could totally understand her frustration, but things happen. Like,
yeah, I do get frustrated, I'll admit it. Because if I can control something, I want to be able to do my best at it. Just missing a flight because I was sleeping on your shoulder is hard for me to suck it up and just be like, what the freak were you thinking? Like, what were you looking at on your phone, you know, that you didn't hear say we're boarding to Detroit? So I got past it I have a rebound rate of 5 seconds. So I was over it and I was laughing with like the Taekwondo guy and we were talking and I was, you know, happy-go-lucky. But there was that one time we were traveling and you and I ordered... We had to pay extra if we wanted to, like, pick our seats or something. We ordered them separate because we weren't sure if we were going to be able to make the same flight.
Yeah, yeah.
And we went to the desk lady and we checked in and we were just like, hey, can we sit by each other? Because we both weren't sitting by each other. And she just was really rude and was like, no.
She was just very blunt, very non-helpful, dismissive, if anything.
And we just said, okay.
And she was like, no.
ID.
How they're booked and how they're set up, I can't change it. There's nothing I can do, and that's it.
So we're like, okay. And we were checking our luggage during this, and we gave her our ID. And then she said, are you from Big Brother? And we're like, yeah. Oh, I can sit you guys together. No problem. I love you guys. And so then we're like, okay.
Well, we're happy that you love us, but you know what? F you a little bit because... What if
we weren't?
What if we weren't on any show?
So it just kind of showed that she had the ability to really do what she wanted. And that kind of happens with a lot of things.
Yeah, no.
It's customer service. They have the ability to do it. It's just kind of like, do they want to or how do they want to be that day? And so it just kind of made me feel like, okay, thank you, but...
No, I was happy but not happy because that's not fair. Like, you shouldn't, that discretionary where it was just night and day for that lady. She went from having the most stern and dismissive attitude, I just want to do my job and really not talk to you, to them being like, oh my God, you're from Big Brother. I can move mountains, right?
Yeah. There was a lot of empty seats on that plane and stuff, so it wasn't like super hard.
No, that was the worst part.
Yeah, and then the one time I booked the wrong flight.
So Nicole gets mad at me because, yeah, we missed our flight and that sucked, right? But there was one time when we were in Los Angeles and I can't remember what we were there for, but Nicole had set up the trip and when we were heading back to go get ready for the departure flight, right? We're on the little bus that's taking us to the terminal. And I pull up the tickets on my phone and I said, Nicole, this is like 2 weeks from now. This return flight is not... Like, this is not the right return flight. Is there something else? Because this can't be right. And she's like,
I panicked. I booked us a flight for like 2 weeks out.
Maybe even like a month later.
Yeah, it might have. No, it was wrong. Right day, wrong month.
Right day, wrong month. So it was.
And I was like, oh, that's why it was so cheap.
Okay. So, okay. So you think, right, like, okay, it's the wrong flight, but we already paid for it. So maybe we can just go to the counter and he'll switch our flight.
Like
no
credit
problem.
It somehow.
Right. Yeah. So when we get to the desk, this is another person now. That was very rude.
This guy was way more rude than that woman.
Oh, yeah, he was. He was like, there's nothing I can do. You're going to have to buy a new flight.
I was like, is there any way that we can like use this towards our new flight? And he goes,
like, you pay the difference?
Absolutely not.
He's like, no, nothing at all.
No.
He's like, if you fly back here another time, you can take this flight home. And it's like, oh, yeah, let me book a trip.
Just
random out of the blue a month from now for no reason to take this flight back home.
Yeah,
no thank you. So I we weren't happy to say the least. So
no, I was crying. I felt so bad. We had already like checked out of where we were going. We didn't we looked up the price of the flights back were like $800 each.
And he wanted us to pay that.
Yes, they were so expensive and they were I think there was like layovers and they were such bad flights.
He was just, again.
So unhelpful.
Yeah, when people are so dismissive like that, not willing to help, it really frustrates me because even for the smallest things, I try to do anything that I can to help somebody. And so when I see somebody like that, it's like your job is literally customer service.
And I was probably crying.
Oh, Nicole was definitely watery eyes, just like freaking out. So I was like, Nicole, let's just message them. Let's just message American Airlines on Twitter and see if they can do something.
And I was like, there's no freaking way. Like, so, we're going to have to buy these flights. I think I was calling Derek Levasseur, too, because he had called me and saw that we missed our flight. And he's like, well, I can kind of help you here with this. And it was like $800. I was like, no, we can't pay $1,600 to get home. Like, I already bought us flights.
Yeah.
So American Airlines freaking came through. They messaged you back and they gave us the flight for free home that night.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The next day. So all we had to do, I mean, we booked a hotel, you know, to stay that night very close to the airport, very cheap, whatever. Mm-hmm. But American Airlines didn't make us buy another flight. They did it ourselves. And I didn't complain about that guy. I mean, at least not by name.
No.
So he didn't get in trouble or anything. But I was fuming. I mean, you don't do that to somebody. You already spent the money on the flight, you know?
Well,
you can at least credit it.
We were helpless. We were stranded. And he just made it 10 times worse by telling us, there's nothing we can do. And he didn't say, like, call customer support.
No.
He didn't say, you know, go visit this counter or let's see what we can do for you.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like,
he was having a very bad day.
That return flight wasn't going to get used anyway, you know? So it's like you took money for nothing.
Right.
Like, there was no service provided because we weren't going to take that flight.
Yeah, so that was a miracle. I was so happy and so grateful for you again because you were like, let's do this. And it freaking worked.
Yeah, it's just all about, you know, staying calm, cool, and collected.
Yeah, I don't know anything about that.
And also, I have like a bittersweet relationship with traveling, right? Because it's fun when you get there, but everything in between kind of sucks.
True.
Like, not only do you have to go through the long security line and you have to sometimes pay for your bag, which I still think is absurd.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you get into the airport and you're like, okay, I'm thirsty. A bottle of water is like
$10. Yeah.
When you had the intention of going in there and like saving as much money as you can. And then you're just like, oh, I want a snack, a magazine.
I feel like there's either two different ways. Like, it's either, okay, we're going to be super cheap and we're just like dying of thirst and starving and we're like, nope, we're not going to do it. Or it's like, okay, I'm going to get this pack of gummies, this candy bar, this water, this magazine, these mints.
Uh-huh.
And it's always like when we want to save money that we do really bad.
It's the complete opposite. And then like just the traveling itself, it's just a kind of a crappy experience, right? Because unless you have a bunch of money to blow and you're sitting in first class, it's not really that comfortable.
No.
And like,
I'm little, so it's not super terrible, but for you.
I don't know. A lot of times the airplane, for example, they want to save energy. So when you get on, they don't have the air blowing and you're sitting there and it's like a freaking sauna.
True.
A sauna with like over 100 people.
It's smelly.
It's muggy. It's smelly.
And I don't use the air because Like when I was in nursing school, I learned that the air is recycled. So it's obviously from the inside. So if someone is like sick, they're sucking the air out of where they are and it's just blowing on your face. Yeah. So I sweat instead of using the air because the last thing I want is like.
Yeah. The guy in like 11D is just like sneezing up a storm and it's getting sucked up into the air and shot back down at you and you're just yawning at the same time.
Yeah. No, seriously, it's something that I've thought about for since I've heard it.
Yeah.
But traveling, no, I always look like I got hit by a bus 10 times when I travel.
Oh, yeah.
I feel greasy. Like I can just shower, go on the plane, and, well, we have a 3-hour drive. So it's like the 3-hour drive, no makeup because I don't want my face to feel greasy. I don't want those zits. We're just sitting in the normal economy seats.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I got my blankets. I got my comfy clothes. I wake up with lines on my face. I'm
all
drooling.
Types of back sweat.
I'm like,
sweat.
Got a stomach ache from the snacks. It's just, it's so uncomfortable. And then I look at people's, like Insta stories and they look so good traveling and I'm like
what type of work did you do?
What the freak is going on? Because I literally hide in airports with sunglasses, hoodie. I'm like, oh, and I swear I get asked for pictures the most there.
That's the worst. I go always same attire, a hoodie, a hat, sweatpants.
Yeah, but you look good in that. That's not even, that's like normal for you. You do not look bad. Like, it's being a girl and going to the airport and feeling like you have to get ready. Like, I never, ever, ever get ready.
Oh,
ever.
I know.
Okay. No.
I'm kidding. You,
no,
baby,
you're serious.
No matter but if you have makeup or not, you look beautiful.
No, but that's fine. I just become a absolute bum going
it's just
to the
comfortable.
Airport.
And it's not like we're getting there to do something, right? Like,
that's how I feel.
But if you're traveling to get to your destination to go straight to, like, a dinner or something... That's one thing.
I still bum it.
But 10 times out of 10, we're getting somewhere the night before we have to do something. So we just get there to go to our hotel or Airbnb or whatever just to relax.
What's crazy is when I flew for Big Brother.
Mm-hmm.
Flying for Big Brother is one of the freaking coolest experiences.
Yes, it is.
Because you have an alias.
Fake name.
You get picked up by...
Car service?
Yes, and then the person comes, grabs your bag from you. He meets you.
They make you feel like a
celebrity.
You
feel like Reese Witherspoon. And I love it. It's one of my favorite things. And every time I go out there, I'm just like, oh, this could be my last time.
And you get car sick.
This could be my last time. Yeah, I've gotten car sick to where I've had to have them actually going down for Big Brother 18 for the final, like when they were going to sequester me. I had to have the guy pull over on the highway and I just projectile vomited because I was so car sick. But anyways, I still love the experience because you feel so famous.
Oh, they do a good job with that. They do a really good job. Same thing when I went out because I wanted to propose to you, right? So when I went out and they had all that set up, I was so nervous that somebody was going to recognize me and be like, oh, Victor, what are you doing in L.A.? And meanwhile, this whole time...
I thought you were here.
You think I'm at
that
home.
That could be really bad.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, how are the puppies doing? And I'm like, oh, the puppies are great. I'm going to the gym right now. I'm, in fact, hopping on a flight.
You even said you were eating leftovers.
Uh-huh. I'm having leftovers. Like, all is fine and dandy. And since you don't like the FaceTime... work perfectly.
Yeah.
You don't check up where I'm at. Actually, I had turned off my location services like a couple weeks before that you weren't happy about. You thought I was doing something suspect.
Okay, well, you need to tell them the whole story.
Okay, so I had to go pick up the ring, right? And the ring was custom made by Cero Jewelry in Colorado. And it just so happened that one of the people that worked there had a family thing going on in Michigan. And so they were going to hand deliver it to me. Awesome. Yeah. The problem was I had to find a way to leave the house without Nicole knowing that I was going to get the ring. So that morning I woke up extra early. And I get in my car and I leave.
Okay, so normally I don't get up. I don't look at my phone at the time. The reason I was very suspicious was because he didn't give me a kiss goodbye. And it's not even like I ever remember him. I never wake up when he gives me a kiss goodbye. But if he doesn't give me a kiss, remember it.
Oh, she knows.
I know. So I was like, why didn't he give me a kiss goodbye? Which caused me to look at my phone, see the time, see his location services. I call him and I say, where are you? And he says, the gym. And I said, no, you're not at the gym.
I was like, I'm heading to the gym.
I'm like,
and she's like, you're lying. You're not heading to the gym. What are you doing? I was like, don't worry about it. Like, really, just don't even worry about it. I'm going to go work out.
Okay, so then 2 seconds later, location cannot be found.
Yeah, so after I got off the phone with Nicole, I turned off my location services. She called me back fuming. I was like, this girl is going to break up with me before I even get to propose to her. She was on fire. And I was like, babe, just really don't worry about it. It's nothing, right? Like, it's really nothing.
And at that point, I was just kind of like, my mom wasn't worried about it. So that made me feel like, okay, I shouldn't be worried about
it. It's like he's surprising you with something he doesn't want you to know, obviously. So just like let it go.
And I did.
And so, yeah, I met with them. I got the ring and all was well. But Nicole was definitely suspect. So, yeah. So when I went to go propose, I was just nervous that through the airport and everything, somebody was going to say something and Nicole was going to find out. Thank God that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Thank God that you hate FaceTime.
Yeah.
And I was so happy that you were busy during the times that I was flying, so you weren't trying to text me or anything and see that your message didn't deliver.
Right. No, I didn't. Yeah. That was so well planned out. So well planned out.
So, that was awesome.
That went through really well. I was just like, there's no freaking way. Because even when I was getting proposed to through you on the TV,
not proposed yet, but like that video, okay, the intimate video.
Okay, but when I know the producers have me on the show by myself in the house and you come on the screen, I know it's got to be a proposal, right?
Yeah.
So I was like, this dude's about to propose to me through the TV. Hell no. I was like, how is this going to work? I was like, he's at home and he's on the TV. And then I see a stranger walk towards me and I'm like, okay, there's a cameraman in here. And it was freaking you. And you cut your hair. I'm just like, what kind of madness is this? I can't even concentrate.
No beard, no long hair.
I have never seen you like that in my entire life.
Oh, that is true. That was the first time you've ever seen me like, because when I went in the house, I had the beard and longer hair. Not that long, but longer hair.
Yeah, I had never seen you. And it just looked, you looked so different to me. And the only thing that looked the same was your teeth. And so I just kept staring at your teeth when you talked. Because, I mean, your whole face, jawline looked different without a beard. You had a hair down to the middle of your back, and now you have short hair. You look like a little 18-year-old.
Oh, you know, I'll take that as a compliment.
Yeah, no, yeah. And I was just, I was more shocked by that than the proposal, because even on the screen, I was like, okay, this is about to go down, and you have a bun.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I literally double looked and I was like, who is that?
And it's funny because I filmed that video the night before. Right. Mm-hmm. So I flew in, I filmed that video that night, and then early the next morning is when I got the haircut and shaved my beard and all that.
So why did you get the haircut and shave your beard?
Because you know what? I said, if I'm going to surprise Nicole, I'm going to give her a full surprise, right? If I'm going to get some type of reaction out of her,
I'm going to make her crap her pants.
Oh, it's going to be huge. It's not just going to be the proposal. It's going to be everything. It's all different. New experience.
Vic, that's like me just like, I don't even know. That's not normal. It's not normal. When someone says that they want to spend their life with you, you like
look, all types of me, however I am.
I know, but it was like on national television, you looking completely different. And you just like, and I just didn't even know. Like my mom even said, she's like, you were talking about his hair as he's like shaking on his knee. And I said, I was so shocked. I was just so taken back by everything.
Oh, afterwards, guys, when it was all said and done.
He's lying. I know what he's
going to
say.
No, this is not lying. When we get to the hotel room, she's like, why would you cut your hair without consoling with me?
Because
why wouldn't you consult me when you're going to cut your hair? And I was like, I just thought it would be a good idea.
I think that guys think that this is just like a good idea to completely change their identity and what they look like. And just surprising me. This is, it's just something that guys like to do. And I'm like, What the freak?
You know what? I was happy that I did it. It was time to cut my hair.
You look great. And I mean, now I'm so used to it. And, yeah. And obviously, but it's just, it was a lot to take in. And I had been, okay, prior to this, I'm in a room secluded trying to memorize my host lines. And I'm freaking out to the producers like, I don't have these memorized. You're like, okay, it's fine. It's fine. It's a luxury comp. It's okay. We'll come, we'll like help you, whatever. And I'm just no, I don't have them ready. I'm not ready. And then I walk in the house. I can't find anyone. I'm like, oh, they're going to be making the doing noise, like making a fool of me. These house guests are hiding from me. And then you come on the screen and I was like, holy crap. No way.
This is happening.
No way. It was, I mean, it's such, I love that I can watch it back now. And
I'm happy about that too.
Yeah, it's so, I can relive it.
They did a great job putting it all together. I mean, I wish they would have caught, which they have the footage somewhere. I was just pacing back and forth, like shaking in another room. Oh, I was just waiting for their cue, you know, because I went into the house before you went into the house.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they're like, okay, this is all the setup. This is where you're going to walk in. This is where she's going to be standing. So you're going to want to be here. And blah blah blah, and I'm just like, I don't even know. They're like, so what are you gonna say? And I was like, I don't even know. I am just gonna wing it, like,
because you said a lot on the video. Thankfully, you didn't have to say a ton, right?
Yeah, no. I was like, I'm just gonna keep it simple because I said everything I was gonna say already. It's out there, and
that was a super nice video too.
Yeah, it was also. I'm so thankful for Big Brother and all the producers, and you know, shout out to Chris Roach because he's the one that I originally tossed the idea to, and then he ran with it with all the other producers. So I'm really, really grateful and thankful that we now have that forever.
We do.
Right?
It's really, and they did a really good job. Like watching the segment, I think we were all in tears. We can live it forever. It was really good.
Yeah, that was awesome. Okay, babe.
What, babes?
You know what I really like that you've been wearing lately? And I don't know.
You like them because they're tight. I know what you're going to say.
You just look really great in them. But at the same time, like, those look just like dress pants. Legit.
Yeah.
Whatever they are.
Whatever. I wear them to church.
Yeah. Like
Beta brand.
Beta brand or Beta brand?
Beta brand.
Beta brand.
Beta brand. I'm so bad at pronouncing things.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're yoga pants, but they look like dress pants. And I really love them. I actually got a lot of compliments on them. I got the skinny leg with like the craziest pattern I could find.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what it's called.
It works for you, though, because, I mean, it looks just like a pant. You know what I mean?
Like dress pants.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have, like, the fake pockets, and so it looks like that there's pockets. They have, like, the button. No one would know that they're... Actually, my brother's girlfriend asked me, where'd you get your dress pants? They fit so good. And I told her. So anyways, if you guys are looking for something that's comfortable and you can wear to work, this is a great brand, Beta brand. It's literally yoga pants, but they look like dress pants. And they come in boot cut, skinny leg. I mean, just the regular cut. Whatever you're looking for in different colors, like khaki, black, patterned. And I'm obsessed with mine. If you want to get 20% off, go to bettabrand.com/coco. And, I mean, it's just a great deal. Just they're just comfortable.
I mean, it'll be the best dress pant that you ever bought. I'll tell you that.
That's true.
I mean, aesthetically, I like them a lot.
I mean, to wear to work, you want to be comfortable. I mean, my dress pants cut my gut when I wear them. These do not. So that's bettabrand.com, BETABRAND.com/coco to get 20% off your dress pants, yoga pants.
Woo! Anyway, that took us all off track.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to, I guess, the Spanish word of the day.
Okay.
Right, which now doesn't tie into what we were just talking about, but ties into what we were talking about before.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so the word is avión. All right? Avión. A-V-I-O-N. Avión, not avión.
Oh, I know this one. Plane.
Oh. How'd you know that?
Because I learned that one in Spanish class.
Wow.
Like aviation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the first Spanish word of the day that you've gotten. Good job, babe. I thought it tied in because of all the travel and everything.
I know you kind of try to tie it in too, but I just knew what it was this time. And I was like thinking if I didn't get it right this time, we're going to have to like delete the segment because it goes nowhere.
No, that's awesome. and something else that I kind of wanted to talk about was, I know we had talked about your anxiety and everything before, but this is not that. This is actual freaking out, right? Because I'm good at staying calm and you freak out. And when I missed our flight because you fell asleep on my shoulder,
I freaked out.
You freaked out, right? Opposed to being like, you know, it's okay. We're on the next flight. It's pretty open, so we're going to get on. It's not a big deal.
Yep.
Like, I get it. But when you completely booked the flight for the next month returning home, I didn't freak out.
Okay, but I was still freaking out at myself. It's not like I wasn't freaking out. I'm always freaking out.
Okay, but how is that helpful?
It makes me feel like things will get done sooner. I mean, in retrospect, it does nothing.
Always. And it's always that way. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like...
I get better.
You slow. Yeah, you have been getting better. Yeah, you have been getting better.
I think it's just my personality because I know sometimes when I'm being an idiot and or like just overreacting to something that goes wrong. I guess I just... It's just what my body does before I even know it's doing it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just... For me, it's like nobody got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's dead. You know, it's not the end of the world. And that's kind of how I go about things.
You do.
Because my parents' motto when I was growing up is shit happens. You know what I mean? Yeah, that sucks. You know, you roll with the punches opposed to like, oh my God, we're late. You missed this. You didn't pay that. You know, you weren't here on time. And it's like,
and I guess I think it's because I always strive for perfection. I don't think that I allow myself to really make a lot of mistakes. I make a lot more mistakes and I'm a lot more relaxed now than I even was in high school.
Oh, wow.
I was very hard on myself. Always straight A's in everything I did. Getting an A- would have been the end of the world.
God, that has to be exhausting.
Yeah, and even like missing a basket in basketball, end of the world. And so now when I sometimes say, it'll be fine, I'm like, wow, that's progress.
Yeah.
So I have done, I have changed like that to where I'm more relaxed. But yes, I still freak out. Like when you got my car stuck in the driveway the other day, I freaked out.
You know what, guys? Nicole said, go to the post office, drop these boxes off. It's the mugs that, you know, we're sending to you guys.
Yeah.
And I hit the reverse. I'm going out and then I feel like I get a little stuck. So I'm like, yeah, that's fine. I'll just go forward, you know, and then reverse out. And then I reverse out and I get fully stuck. And then Nicole's watching out the window. She's like, oh my, she comes out. Oh my God, you got the car stuck. It's going to break. It's lifted up. I got to call my dad. What are you doing? What were you thinking? This is going to mess up the car. I cannot believe.
Okay, stop. And I'm You're just being like, so no, dramatic.
That is literally how, and I was like, Nicole, it's snow. Right? I didn't plow the car into a concrete wall. All right. The car is going to be fine. Let's just dig it out, push it back and forth. Like, it'll be okay. And you're like, now my dad has to come over. He shouldn't have to be helping us with everything. I was like, nobody told you to call your dad. Nobody told you to call your dad.
It wasn't going anywhere.
It was fine.
We tried.
It turned out exactly what I was doing is what needed to happen. It just took me a little bit longer.
Well, you and my dad pushed it. And
But I just had to shovel more snow from underneath.
Yeah,
out of
so
it.
After that, I'll be honest, I realized it wasn't that big of a deal. But I was just kind of embarrassed because our neighbors were looking out the window.
You see, and I could care less. If the neighbors are looking out the window, screw them because they should have came out and helped, right? If they're just watching and think it's funny, you know what I mean? I will say that although you do tend to freak out about things, you have a quick rebound rate.
Yeah, I do.
And that goes with anything. If you're emotional, if you get mad at me or whatever the case may be, you bounce back pretty fast. the counter, or for me, the opposite side of me being so laissez-faire, you know, just relax, easygoing, is that since I am so easygoing, when you do get mad at me about something and I feel like it's not warranted or fair or whatever, I don't have that fast rebound rate. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I know what you mean.
You have nothing to say to that?
So, yeah, I get that when I get mad at you, like, it takes you longer. If something happens, it takes you longer to get over than it takes me to get over.
Yeah. And that's a weird yin and yang, too, mm-hmm. right? Because it's, like, literally the complete opposites. And then you're just like, I'm over it already. Why are you still mad? And I'm just like, well, I can be easygoing, but
yeah.
If I feel like it was, because I'm always about fair, right? And I'm like, that's not fair. And you're like, well, it's not always about being fair. It's just, you know, how you're feeling, right?
Yeah.
And I get that. I don't know. I just don't have that rebound rate. And I'm jealous of you for that.
Yeah, right? I do have a very fast rebound rate,
mm-hmm.
Which is good for anybody who makes me angry.
Yeah.
But it might be a coping mechanism. Like, that's just how I get through things.
Yeah.
Because I do dwell on some things. It's not that I don't dwell on things. It just depends on what it is, I guess.
Circumstantial.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what to really say about that, but I do have a quick rebound rate, and I'm on to doing the next pain in the ass thing. Quoted from the notebook.
Yeah. I envy you for that, because that's something that I'm trying to work on, just having a bounce back. But mm-hmm. I don't know, just sometimes, it just depends on the situation. You know what I mean? But yeah.
So one thing that weird and normal segment. We ready for this?
Yeah. So, yeah. Transition us in.
Okay. So, I'll close up on the last one, whereas I shouldn't freak out about things that I do freak out on. And I'm very aware of it. And I'm working on it every single day. And
I'm working on having a faster rebound rate for things.
Yeah. It's just like brushing it off more.
Trying to brush
it
off.
You're more surface level and I'm deep. But at the same time, I can let go of things a lot faster. So it's opposite. It seems like you can brush things off, but you don't. And I brush things off even though I overthink and critically analyze every freaking word that everyone says.
Yeah. Which I hate sometimes, by the way.
Oh, whatever. Anyways, a weird or normal segment.
All right, weird or normal. What do you got?
So Victor doesn't really like salads, but he says he does like salads.
I do like salads.
Because this is what his salad consists of, which I don't count a freaking salad.
It's amazing.
Warm meat.
Mm-hmm.
Warm mushrooms.
Mm-hmm.
Warm onions.
You're on track.
Warm marinade. And spinach.
That's a salad.
The only salad you eat is a warm dish.
It's because it's amazing, because I don't like having like super sour and crunchy onions. I don't like just eating straight up mushrooms. I liked all my stuff cooked and add spinach. I mean, I've moved away from, I don't even like lettuce anymore. And there's been a lot of stuff in the news about lettuce lately.
That's romaine. But anyways, that was a while ago. It's weird that you will only eat a salad if it's warm, because a salad bar sure in the hell ain't warm.
I know. And
you
that's
don't
what,
get a salad bar.
I never get salad bar.
But you say you like salads, but that's not a freaking salad. So people, is that a salad if it's a warm dish with spinach added in it? Because it's technically warm every bite that you're eating. What is really a salad? A salad is raw vegetables, raw romaine. It's cold. It has dressing and croutons and seeds.
Although I see kind of your point, I still think that I eat salad even if the only cold item in my bowl is the spinach.
It's not cold anymore.
Well, after I toss it, no, it's not cold
exactly.
anymore.
Exactly.
But still, it's still a salad. It's vegetables even though they're cooked. It doesn't... Does a salad have to be a salad? Does raw vegetables
constitute
a salad?
Yes.
Says who? In what book? In what Merriam-Webster dictionary does it say salad equals raw vegetables only?
A salad, I feel like, is not what the freak you eat. You eat stir fry with spinach. I mean, you might as well have had quinoa or rice.
And you know what? A rice would be a good side.
Or you know what? You might as well as roll it up in a burrito.
If, okay, again, I do see what you're saying. If you take out the spinach from my salad,
it's not a salad.
And you add rice.
Yep.
Yeah, it would be stir fry. It would be great Asian
okay,
food.
Okay, so now take out the spinach out of my salad. Is that considered stir fry?
It can be.
Okay.
If you cook it?
No.
If you take, okay, if you don't have any romaine lettuce and you just have all your vegetables and you take out like the spinach or the romaine, you would just have vegetables. That wouldn't be considered a salad, I don't think. Right?
Yes, it would.
If it's just carrots, onions, mushrooms, and egg.
I don't, cheese.
And that would be a salad? Or would that just be vegetables with some other stuff that's weird?
I mean, it would have like seeds and dressing, so I think.
So if it then has dressing, then it's a salad.
All I'm saying is that if we remove one ingredient from yours, then it's a hot dish.
I never knew.
Anyways, we're not going to agree on this. we're not going to agree. I just don't think it's a salad because I see steam coming from your salad in this gigantic. And let me tell you this. He doesn't eat it out of like a salad bowl. He eats it out of this ginormous toss bowl that I couldn't even fit if I put my arm out like trying to carry it. It's so big and he's just spooning.
Like, because that's the best place to toss it. And if I already tossed it in there, why should I dirty another dish and move it somewhere else?
It just grosses me
And out. It's the best way to eat it because it all flows down to the bottom. I don't know. I think I'm onto something.
We just could not be more opposite about that.
Okay,
let me ask you this.
Okay.
If there was not meat in your salad, would you still eat it? No, you wouldn't.
Oh, no, yes, I would because it would still have the marinade, which tastes really good.
I don't think so.
I think so. All I'm saying is if you opened a salad stand and I opened a salad stand right next to each other.
Mine would be way more better.
Mine would sell more.
No.
My hot salads.
That's disgusting.
Would sell more than your salad bar.
I don't think I love salad bars.
I hate salad bars. I would never pay for a salad bar. Ever.
That just goes to show it's not salad. If you can't eat a meal off of a salad bar, you don't like salad.
I don't like the traditional salad. I don't like the traditional. We're over this. I mean, I don't want to discuss it anymore.
Are you team hot salad or are you team cold salad? We want to know.
Yes, we do because hot salad is where it's at.
So put it on. We're going to advertise this episode.
Mm-hmm.
And put it on if you're team hot salad or team cold salad.
And let me just put this picture in your mind, ladies and gentlemen. Think of this salad, right? You have sauteed onions, caramelized. Let me start over. You have caramelized onions, sauteed mushrooms. You have some teriyaki glaze with some beef tips.
Which means you have animals and feelings in your food.
And then
shame
you have
on you.
That, stop it. And then
shame.
You have some spinach, and you can also have, I don't know, a little bit of garlic, and then you just toss that up, and it's nice, steamy, smelling amazing. That is one
disgusting
bomb salad. I'll sell them. I'll sell them. Come to my house. I'll make you one. You'll love it.
No, he won't.
No, I probably won't, because I'll eat it.
Ew. All right, well, wrap us up there, baby.
You know what? I want you to close this out.
Like I've been talking a lot today.
Close us out, babe. Close us out. Do our outro.
I'm not sure what it is, but I'm going to give it a little go.
Give it a whirl.
Thank you guys so much for listening.
Thank you.
We really, really appreciate
we
it.
We appreciate it.
We appreciate if you rate, subscribe.
Rate, subscribe, and review.
And review. That's what I'm missing.
Or rate, review, and subscribe.
Rate, review, and rescribe.
Rate, review, and subscribe.
And what else, Vic?
Nothing. You can listen to us on all platforms where you listen to podcasts, be it iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, or any other platforms out there that play podcasts. And again, yeah, we appreciate it. Follow us on Coco Caliente Podcast on Instagram, Coco Caliente Pod on Twitter.
Oh, we have a website now.
And you can check us out on our website, CocoCalientePodcast.com, and you can buy a mug today. Has our logo on it, and you can enjoy your dose of cocoa with us.
And we got those locally, by the way. We're supporting small local businesses.
And without getting too much into it, having a little business like that is a lot more work than you would think. Mm-hmm. Creating the website and getting the mugs in stock and figuring out shipping. Nicole's like, oh, we can do it. Why can't we just start it up and run? And now she's like, oh my God, this is way more than I thought.
But I've been working on it.
Oh,
and
you
I've been trying to get prices down. I've been trying to get like even the shipping down, and I figured it out.
Yeah, we're trying to do everything
for
the people that want it, right? Yeah. We're doing this for the people that want it.
Last thing I want is you guys to feel like it's too expensive or...
Well, not even that. We weren't even going to sell mugs.
Yeah, that's true.
That wasn't our thing. We wanted to, you know, just do giveaways, and then, you know, our listeners started asking, hey, you know, where can we buy the mugs and this, that, and the third. And we're like...
We'll make it happen.
If you guys want it, you know, we'll make it happen. Mm-hmm. It didn't go the other way around. We didn't try to sell it to people and then,
True. And I'm working on other cool things that I think really identify with you and I and can identify with other people on the website as far as merchandise goes. So
I'll start selling Puerto Rican flags.
We'll announce that when we're working on it. It takes a lot longer than I thought.
Yeah, you know, it's definitely a work in progress.
I get it now.
But no, we appreciate you guys for listening. If you don't like the podcast, just move on. If you love it, thank you.
If they didn't like it, they definitely didn't make it this far in the episode.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. But, no, we appreciate you guys. You guys make it happen, and really, you know, doing the rating and the reviews and following us on social media, that really helps us on the business end, and we appreciate that. So thank you for listening. You guys have a great night.
And we're going to go bowl.
And we got bowling.
Bye.